6:43 now. It is Wednesday. This is 1320 WILS. So a lot of reaction out of the Bill Cosby case, the fact that it deadlocked and is now a mistrial. And the question some are raising is the legal system stacked against women in she said, he said sexual assault cases? Jan Langbein is with us. She's an expert on violence against women, a national voice for women, and that she's a Genesis Shelter. .com.org, genesisshelter.org. Jan, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Do you think typically women get the have a rough time in these sexual assault cases?
Well, you know, I think to answer your question, but I think it's men and women. I think victims of sexual assault, somehow they're what has happened to them goes to their credibility. Somehow the perpetrator then turns into the victim. It's really, really a terrible thing. We're really disappointed what happened last week with this deadlock in the case against Bill Cosby.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I guess both people enter in with different perceptions, right? The accused has one perception of what happened and the victim has a very different one, right?
Well, I agree, but in this particular case, and although it wasn't able to get into court, there's 60 people who have the same interpretation and one person who doesn't.
That's true.
You know, this isn't about a lack of consent or coercion. This is premeditated, drug-facilitated sexual assault.
Yeah.
And I think this deadlock, which I hope they will file charges again, which they certainly have the right to do, but it has a terrible impact on victims. Think about it. Less than 10% of all victims actually report. And if you did think about, if this happened to you or happened to your daughter, and she was thinking about reporting and she got to see how this particular case unfolded,
mm-hmm.
60 people accused this guy and there's still people who are cheering him on. Mm-hmm. I think it sends a terrible message to perpetrators. I think it's a green light.
Right. No, look, the case, there was a lot there. There was his own behavior after the attack and alleged attacker. But there was also her behavior where she stayed in contact with him for a long time, right? Well, what did you make of that aspect of the case?
Right. And I know there are a couple of times that, you know, she said this, but then when she really thought about it, it said that. You know, that is not, in my opinion, my professional opinion, an example of lying. She's not a liar. That's what happens to people who experience trauma. So say you were in a really bad car wreck. You won't remember every single detail right at first. You may not be able to tell the story altogether. What I heard her roll out in various ways, to me, just indicated trauma. But, you know, there's a thing about it that really stuck with me, and that's, you know, here's Bill Cosby, America's dad, quote and unquote. Wouldn't you like to think you, your daughter, your sister were safe with America's dad? We don't want to believe that he's a bad guy, and yet he is. And so with whom are we safe? You know, it's a really scary thing out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just wondering too about the fact that that came up in the court case that she didn't, once the attack occurred, she did not completely cut off contact with him, right? That did not happen.
Sure, and I don't think that's strange. I think it's like, did it happen? Was it my fault? Did I misunderstand? The victims begin to question themselves, whether it's domestic violence or sexual assault. Could I have somehow brought this on? Maybe I shouldn't have gone over there. Maybe I shouldn't have taken the pills. But what kind of guy drugs a girl in order to have sex with her? I mean, bottom line, you know, she ought to be able to take a Sudafed or whatever he gave her. She ought to be able to be passed out drunk and still not get raped.
Hmm.
You know, lack of ability to give consent is not consent.
Yeah, how do you
whether she was a
psyche like his, how does that work where he goes around, he has a family, a wife, daughters, right?
Yeah.
And yet he behaves, how does that a psyche operate in your view?
Well, I think there's got to be some way he can compartmentalize this, that somehow he isn't doing something wrong. That's a different thing.
There it is, the phone lines. Hey, Jen, you just broke up there. You were saying he's compartmentalizing it, though. Is that what it amounts to?
Yeah. I think that it's got to be in my head. I'm thinking he's got to be able to compartmentalize this to where he doesn't look in the mirror and see a monster. And so, you know, I hope, my hope of this outcome of all of this is that victims don't draw back into the darkness, that don't draw back into the, you know, and close the curtains. I hope people will continue to stand up and speak out. There's a national a national sexual assault hotline that I would love to say, give a number to you, just in case someone is listening who's thinking about, is this the right thing to do? There's a lot of information on their website. May I give you that?
Sure. Let's hear it.
So it's RAIN, Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, RAINN, and their it would be RAIN.org for their website, but 1-800-656-HOPE. A lot of information there, a lot of help there. Victims do not have to go through this by themselves.
Right. Well, Jan, one last thing, just a minute here, for victims who look at the whole thing and say, I don't want to even put myself through a trial, a case, the whole thing is just frightening. I'd rather move on with my life. What would you say to them?
I would say I completely understand it and I don't judge it. But I do know that this perpetrator will go on to rape again and again and again. Case in point, Bill Cosby. Yeah. Had the first woman not come forward, or the second woman, maybe they tried, maybe they didn't try. But we saw his pattern of behavior that was not going to stop. He continued to do it again and again and again. I think we'll see more of this, and maybe we can talk again when the civil cases start rolling out.
Right.
This is the one criminal case that had not expired. Statute of limitations had not expired. But these are conversations that we need to have. Like I say, it's never acceptable, whether she passed out or not. It's just never okay.
Jan Langbein, she is a nationally known voice for women at GenesisShelter.org. Jan, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thanks for having me. Thanks so much.